I would like to begin this message today with you. If you could turn with me to the book of Luke, Luke in chapter 11, Luke chapter 11. These are the words of Jesus as he's teaching. And in Luke chapter 11, Jesus says here in Luke 11 and in verse 9, he says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now, we've heard these verses many times. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. And in these verses, Jesus is basically saying, you need to be coming. You need to be asking and seeking and knocking. Part of the journey of a Christian is to be pressing in to find God. But notice that Jesus very specifically, when he's talking about asking and seeking and knocking, he says about asking. If a son asks for bread, if a son asks for fish, if a son asks for an egg, these are all things that are very nourishing, right? Things that we need to have. And sometimes one of the big lies that can happen in our minds and in our way of living and our thinking is that we don't need the Holy Spirit. We say, I need to eat, but do we say, I need the Holy Spirit? Because that is what Jesus is basically saying. And if you will come and ask, do you think that the Father will not give to you the Spirit that he's offering? But today what I want to do is I want to look at this very specifically. Because when Jesus is talking about asking and seeking and knocking, I want to show you that God, through his word, has given us beautiful insights, not just of saying, Father, give me the Holy Spirit, but Father, give me the Holy Spirit so that I can. Give me the Holy Spirit so that I may do this, do that, become this, become that. That God has opened up a beautiful treasure to us by beckoning us to come, to ask, to seek, and to knock, to say, Father, will you give me your Holy Spirit? So, to do this, I'm going to encourage you to not just listen today. I'm going to ask you to build a list with me. I want you to build a prayer list. So, if you have a phone with notes in it, like I do, an iPhone, I want you to get your notes. If you don't have a place to put it in your phone or in an iPad, which you should, but if you don't want to put it there, and you're just like, I just like good old-fashioned paper and pen, okay, this is your time. Go to the bedroom or the office, wherever you are at home. Get your paper, get your pen. We're going to build a list together, and I'm going to make a bold statement to say that this list, if you will pray it and think about it and refer to it, it will be a life-changing list for you. It will be a life-changing list. God has given us so many offerings, and he has shown us what we can come after, what we can seek after. And I want to show you this today. I want to share this with you from his word. And so we're going to build a list together. And again, it's not just to go through for this sermon, but a list that can be used in our moments of prayer on a daily basis. But just seeing this, I hope that you will receive from the Lord inspiration of what he's really saying about what happens when his Spirit comes upon people. So let's begin this study today. Let's begin making this list by turning to Exodus chapter 31. And we're kind of going to do this again a little differently than I would maybe most sermons, but we're going to go through this and we're just going to take a walk together. So allow me to walk you through some verses today and walk you through the creation of this list that is so life-changing. So in Exodus chapter 31, verse 1, it says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship to design artistic works, in works of gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. So notice what he says again. He says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God, notice, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship to design artistic works. Now, do you see how powerful just this one thing is to seek after, to ask for, to go after from God, that in whatever it is that you're doing where you need help, he can help you in artistic ways, in creative ways, to give you wisdom, to give you understanding, to give you knowledge in all manner of workmanship. Now, one of the unique experiences I've had in my life is I left college at the age of 21 to start a business with my brother. He had an idea of something that could work, and I had been uniquely trained already in the produce industry to do this. But the thing is, when you start a business that no one has ever done before, that this is a brand new idea, and you're an entrepreneur, you have to think about everything, and there's nobody to go benchmark off of. You know, if you're starting a burger place, you could go look at 100 different burger places and the way they make their burgers and what they serve it with and what the condiments are and do they use lettuce or tomatoes? Do they put mayo on there, right, or ketchup? There's all kinds of ways to benchmark. But when you do something that nobody has done before, who do you turn to for help, for wisdom, for understanding, for counseling? There is only one. And I found in my life that the one I needed to help me was God. Now, an amazing thing happened, and that is I had my mind open to this verse as a young man to realize that though my father had passed away on this earth, that my father in heaven was still there for me, and I asked him to give me creative inspiration, help me to think through problems. And I can't tell you the number of times I was sitting at my desk trying to figure out how to run a business and how to figure out what we need to do and what our procedures are. And I had like a general idea, but just didn't know exactly how to do it. Or people would come to me with problems. I'm like, I'm not sure how to solve this. Or I just go shut that door to the office and kneel down and say, Father, I don't know what to do here, but you do know what I should do. You have the perfect answer for this. Will you please give me of your spirit of creativity so I can see through the problem to the solution and that I can have an answer that neither me nor my team can come up with? And time after time after time, I saw God answer that prayer. And amazingly, once it's revealed, you just like, oh, of course that's the answer. Because once you get the revelation, it seems so plain and so true. But what about you and your work? In the work that you're doing to spread the gospel, to teach your children, to go to business and work and be engaged in life. Are you asking God for the creative inspiration, for the artistic and creative works that you're doing? And understanding that God loves to be a part of this with his kids, to help give a spirit so they can do amazing things. And just think of how cool it is to be able to teach Bezalel to do all this work with gold, with silver, with bronze, with cutting. I mean, I would just be like, I don't know how to do any of those things. And maybe he didn't either. But God said, I put my spirit in him so he could. What about you? Number one on your list, to pray for God to give you the Holy Spirit for creative inspiration. To make you see what you can't see. To help you view it in a way that's different, that's more profound. Turn with me over to Exodus chapter 35. We're going to add to this now, point number two, Exodus chapter 35. And he says here in verse 30, so Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord Yahweh has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. And he has put in his heart the ability to teach. In other words, he's not only getting from the Spirit of God the wisdom of how to do it, he's getting the understanding and the wisdom of how to teach it. And hopefully God gives me the ability to teach today. That my prayer is that I have the Spirit to teach you and to help you see how powerful this is to come to God, to ask for the Holy Spirit, and to ask for something specific that God does by His Spirit, not only to have the wisdom of how to do something, but the wisdom of how to teach it. That God would give you the ability to share what He gives to you to someone else, of creative works, of artistic works, and whether that is physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, to have you understand and to have you be able to share that understanding. So point number two on our list, as we build this prayer list, that we're praying for the Holy Spirit to be able to teach the things that God shares with us, the things of creativity and artistic and workmanship, that we can share these insights and this wisdom with others. Turn with me now over to the book of Judges as we continue our walk through Scripture here in Judges chapter 3. And notice with me in Judges chapter 3, beginning here in verse 9. Judges 3:9. So when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel who delivered them. Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he judged Israel. He went out to war and the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim so that the land had rest for 40 years. Then Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. So, number three, pray that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon you, that you may judge rightly, that you may go to war and prevail, that you may bring peace to others. How powerful is that? That you can go and ask God for His Holy Spirit to be able to make war, to bring forth deliverance, to bring about peace. Every one of us as soldiers in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ has been called to this service. It's what we do, but it's not something that just happens by our own resources. We get the creativity to do it, the ability to teach it, and then to go to war to deliver and bring rest, all by the Spirit of the Lord. Judges 11, turn with me now over to Judges 11. Judges 11, we're just adding to the same point. But notice in Judges 11, verse 29. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh, and passed through Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he advanced toward the people of Ammon. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver the people of Ammon into my hands, then it will be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me, then I shall return in peace from the people of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. So Jephthah advanced toward the people of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. And as it says in verse 3, thus the people of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. How did it happen? In verse 29, by the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him. So again, the power for deliverance. Turn back now to Judges chapter 6. To Judges chapter 6, and we'll read from the life of Gideon. You might remember Gideon was the one that was going against the Midianites. He was hiding out in the wine press. He was threshing wheat in there to hide it from them so they wouldn't see it. And he was doing things kind of secretly with just him and then his 10 servants when they went against the gods of Baal. But I want you to notice with me here in Judges chapter 6, and notice here beginning in verse 34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and then he blew the trumpet, and the of Israelites gathered behind him, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh who also gathered behind him. He also sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. So Gideon said to God, if you save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look. And he put out the fleece. And as we know what happened, Gideon went to war with the men that God gave him. But the thing was, when he was alone hiding and doing secret, stealthy things, basically putting away food, hiding it from the Midianites, God saw him and God took him and sent the word to him, you mighty man of valor. And he used Gideon. But it was when the Spirit came on him that people gathered around him. And as it said, he blew the trumpet and the Israelites gathered behind him. And then he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh who also gathered behind him. Pray that God would give you of his Spirit to gather people together for his just cause. Pray that God would give you the Spirit to gather people together for his just cause. I just want you to think about how powerful just these first four points are in your prayer list. And what you can be asking for and what you can be praying for. And how to make a difference in this world is by allowing God to completely transform us into who he wants us to be. Turn with me now over to Judges chapter 14. And just a couple examples here from the life of Samson. Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14. Notice in chapter 14, 5, so Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now, to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. He's not thinking he's going in there to fight a lion. He's just having a walk in a vineyard. The lion comes out, and then it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. I mean, that's superhuman strength, right? Tearing apart a lion like he's nothing. That came by the Spirit of the Lord. Maybe some of you have had some superhuman strength sometime to be able to do things you couldn't do. You know, for me, I haven't had that personally. I mean, when you got all this going on for you, you're like, you haven't really needed that one yet, but when you're as big and bulky and, you know, muscular as I am. But the reality is that this is a pretty cool thing to ask for, isn't it? And just to think about what God can do and what you can ask for, ask God for the superhuman strength to face whatever enemies come your way. That's your prayer. Ask God for the superhuman strength. Mentally, spiritually, emotionally, financially, physically. Ask God for what is superhuman to be able to stand against your enemies. He's saying, seek, ask, knock, keep coming after me for these things. And so we shall do if God gives us that grace. And if we can read on in Samson in verse 19 here, chapter 14, the Spirit of the Lord came on Samson and he killed 30 men. And later in Judges chapter 15, verses 14 to 19, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, and it said that the ropes that were on his hands, is by him, they broke off like they were nothing, like flax being burned. It was just like, they just didn't exist. All the bonds broke off, and it says he grabbed the jawbone of a young donkey that had died, and he killed 1,000 men with that jawbone. He did that by the Spirit of the Lord. Samson miraculously faced and defeated his enemies by the Spirit of the Lord. God puts these little things in here for us to see. It was by his Spirit. Sometimes we look at the men, and yes, they are champions, and that God used them and that God worked through them. And yes, we give them respect. They're our brothers who have gone before us and our forefathers in faith. But it's the Spirit of God that's doing this work, the same Spirit that is available to you today. So why do we kneel down to pray? Because Jesus said, will you ask? Will you seek? Will you knock? Don't you know that he who asks receives? What is it that you need? We need help to be able to face our enemies. Let's go and look at now in 1 Samuel chapter 10, continuing on as we go through the scriptures here today. 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. And notice here in verse 6, 1 Samuel chapter 10, it says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you." Now, this is Samuel who is prophesying to Saul. As Saul is about to become king, Saul is led to Samuel, and Samuel prophesies over him. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man." You'll be turned into another man. "And let it be when these signs come upon you that you do as the occasion demands." I just want you to focus on this because I love the way Samuel says this. He's like, the Spirit's going to come upon you. You're going to prophesy. You're going to be turned into somebody completely different than who you are today. And when this happens to you and these signs come upon you, do as the occasion demands. Do what it demands. I mean, what beautiful instruction and what beautiful teaching. And he says, do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. And so, just dropping down to verse 9. "So it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came there to a hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. And then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it happened, when all who knew him formerly saw that he indeed prophesied among the prophets, that the people said to one another, 'What is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?' Then a man from there answered and said, 'Who is their father?' Therefore it became a proverb, 'Is Saul also among the prophets?'" He became a completely different person. He could do and become what God wanted him to become in that moment. He could become a different person. So, the next point in our prayer list, pray that God would bless you with the Spirit to prophesy, to become a different person, that you may do as occasions demand. So what a beautiful, beautiful prayer this is, to think about coming before the Lord God, who can just make you different, who can just transform you and say, "David, this is what you were yesterday, but today I need you to be this." And see, we should be looking to God and praying this prayer, saying, "God, pour upon me your Spirit that I may prophesy, that I may be a different man, and that as I have occasion, I would do what the occasion demands by the power of your Spirit." And as Samuel said, go do these things because God is with you. God wants to be with us. What he's asking for is that we would ask, that we would seek, that we would knock and ask for these things of his Spirit. All right, next turn with me over to 1 Samuel chapter 11. Just a couple pages over, we're continuing here in the life of Saul. And notice what happened here in verse 1 of 1 Samuel 11. Notice in verse 1 it says, "Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, 'Make a covenant with us and we'll serve you.' And Nahash the Ammonite answered and said, 'On this condition I will make a covenant with you, that I may put out all your right eyes and bring reproach on all Israel.' And then the elders of Jabesh said to him, 'Hold off for 7 days that we may send messengers to all the territory of Israel. And then if there is no one to save us, we'll come out to you.' So the messengers came to Gibeah of Saul and told the news in the hearing of the people. And the people lifted their voices and wept, crying how this has come upon them." And notice what happens. Verse 5. "Now there was Saul coming behind the herd from the field. And Saul said, 'What troubles the people that they weep?' And they told him the words of the men of Jabesh." And then what happens? Verse 6. "The Spirit of God came upon Saul. And when he heard this news, and his anger was greatly aroused. So he took a yoke of oxen and cut them in pieces and sent them throughout the territory of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, 'Whoever does not go out with Saul and Samuel to battle, so it shall be done to his oxen.' And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent." The power of God's Spirit to give us righteous indignation in order to rescue those in trouble from their enemies. To give us a righteous indignation to go set those free who are in trouble from oppressors. Spiritually, how do we see the world in which we live? Are people being brought to shame because of their addictions to alcohol and to drugs, to gambling and to irresponsibility of behavior that leads to problem after problem after problem? You know, we can talk about the right way to live. We can talk about what it is to change and transform. But ultimately, where is all this happening? There must be a move of God in the Spirit to transform what is like in darkness and is without form and void, like the earth was, to a new and vibrant creation of earth. This is how it works. The Spirit of God comes in and moves upon people, and it changes their lives. And God gives power to rescue and to have an indignation to say, no more principalities, power, spiritual wickedness. We are not battling against people. We're battling against spiritual powers. And God's saying, do you want power? Ask for what I show you is available through my Spirit. Ask for the power to stand up for a people in trouble and a people oppressed. Pray for their deliverance. Battle in the Spirit. Go after the powers of God on behalf of those that they be walking no more with their right eye plucked out, but made whole and right, not lame, but walking free, being who God wants them to be. We've got to have this on our prayer list, to pray that God would give us the righteous indignation in order to rescue those who are in trouble from the enemy. And let us never forget who the enemy is. If your enemy is somebody you have designated as a flesh and blood person, you've missed the point. Because for millennia, it's been spiritual wickedness, powers, and principalities that move from generation to generation through people who come and go. But it's the same powers looking to bring about oppression and looking to bring about a rejection of God. They are the ones who are working. They are the ones over whom we should be indignant, realizing that we live in a world held in bondage. Turn with me now over to 1 Samuel 16. I want you to see something so powerful here of how Samuel was able to make David something different and how the Spirit was at the center of all this. And so in 1 Samuel 16, verse 13, it says, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, that is David, in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Are you putting this on your prayer list right now? Father, bless me with your Spirit, and may your Spirit be upon me from this day forward. What a beautiful prayer to pray every day. What a beautiful prayer to ask God that He would always be with us and bless us with His Spirit. Now, I want you to turn over with me a few pages to 1 Samuel chapter 19. 1 Samuel chapter 19. And notice that 1 Samuel 19, beginning here in verse 20, it says, so Saul sent messengers to take David. So Saul's going after David. He's at Naoth and Ramah. And when they saw the group of prophets prophesying, these messengers that were sent by Saul to take David and to bring him to Saul, it says, as they saw the group of prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as leader over them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul and they prophesied. They were coming to take David away to Saul, and the Spirit of God came on them and they start prophesying. Notice in verse 21, so when Saul was told, he sent other messengers. They prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again a third time, and they prophesied also. So then he, Saul, also went to Ramah and came to the great well that is at Sekou, and he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And someone said, indeed, they're at Naoth and Ramah. So he went there to Naoth and Ramah, and then the Spirit of God was also on him. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth and Ramah. And he also stripped off his clothes and prophesied before Samuel in like manner and lay down naked all that day and all that night. And so they say, he saw also among the prophets. How cool is that? So what do we seek? We ask God that His Spirit would fall on those who come to bring us to harm. When you have people attacking you, when you have people speaking lies against you, when you have people hurting you, persecuting you, seemingly for no reason, just being irritated and being filled with strife, when you have people that are looking to in any way upend you in your walk to try to get you to maybe go and sin and participate in all manner of sin that this world offers, and they're trying to get you off course, pray that God, rather than them coming to take me away, you come and take them away for you. You change them. You pour your spirit on them. You make them into someone different. Pray that prayer for those that would come against you, that just like it happened here, it would happen to them. And another part of this prayer for me on this point is I pray, Father, if you could pour the Spirit on those who were unwilling and enemies coming to take David away with a mission not yours, but of their own devising. If you can pour your Spirit on them like that to prophesy, will you please also pour your Spirit on me who is willing? I do want to receive of you. I do want you to come into my life. God wants us to keep seeking, to keep looking for him. Turn with me now over to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23, and notice here in verse 1. Now, these are the last words of David. Thus says David, this is 2 Samuel 23, verse 1. Thus says David, the son of Jesse, thus says the man raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob and the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spoke to me. He who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be like the light of the morning when the sun rises, a morning without clouds, like the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. So what is it that David had? The Spirit of the Lord came on him, that his word, that is the Lord's word, was on his tongue, that he could speak what God wanted him to speak. Pray that your words would be the words of the Lord. You know, Jesus even said, he said, I don't speak my own words, but as I hear my Father speaking, so I speak. So ask that God would give us utterance by his Spirit, that we could speak his words, that every day this would be the way we live. Turn with me now over to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. We continue to build this Holy Spirit prayer list. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, and notice with me now in verse 16. Then some of the sons of Benjamin and Judah came to David at the stronghold. So this was when David was at Ziklag. It was a place in the Philistines area that they had given to David, and it remained a part of Judah. And people are coming to David. But notice what happens here as these men from Benjamin and Judah come to David. So David went out to meet them, verse 17, and answered and said to them, if you have come peaceably to me to help me, my heart will be united with you. But if to betray me to my enemies, since there is no wrong in my hands, may the God of our fathers look and bring judgment. And notice what happens. The Spirit came upon Amasai, chief of the captains, and he said, we are yours, O David. We are on your side, O son of Jesse. Peace, peace to you and peace to your helpers, for your God helps you. So David received them and made them captains of the troop. So what is it that the Spirit of God did? It empowered him to make a faithful covenant to another of God's servants, his anointed king, to make faithful and powerful covenants. You know, we make covenants with God when we get baptized. We make a covenant with him, and we enter into the new covenant that is founded in the blood of Jesus Christ. How do we keep that covenant to be on his side, to be faithful, and to not betray the God who rescued us? We do it by the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God for this, to be faithful in our covenants and in our commitments to one another, to be faithful in our covenants and commitments to God. And this is something that you should have on your prayer list. God, please bless me with your Spirit that I would be faithful to keep my word, my covenants and my commitments, that I would not go astray, that I would not be like an infidel, but always being faithful and showing all good fidelity in the commitments I make. Notice with me now in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, as we continue to build this prayer list. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 11 to 13. Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasuries, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seat, and the plans for all that he had. How did he have it? By the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, for all the chambers all around it, the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries for the dedicated things, and also for the divisions of the priests and the Levites, for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, for all the articles of service in the house of the Lord. Yahweh. How did he have the plans for what it would be physically? How did he have the plans for what it would be spiritually, in service and in coming together as the people of God to worship? Do you put that on your list? Put it on there right now. Ask God to bless you with the Spirit to give you the plans for the building of his temple. Ask God to give you the plans for the building of his temple, that you would know where you fit as a worker, as a member of the house and the temple of God, that you would know what it is he's desiring for you to do and how to engage, and that in every service he would give you plans. You pray, Father, teach me what to teach. Teach me what songs to play. Teach me how to inspire. Teach me how to lead. What is your plan here today? What do you want me to be doing? And hopefully, as you hear this word being taught, as you're building your list, you are being inspired by the word of God, by the invitation that is being given to you by Almighty God to say, come and seek for the things that I will give and that I do give by my Holy Spirit. Because if you know what to ask for, and the Father saying, do you believe that I can give you the plans? Yes, Father, ask of me. Ask. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, if you believe in me, if you ask, it will be done. He's telling us what to ask for throughout his word. He's taking us on this journey of showing what he has done in mankind by his Spirit. And point after point after point, he is showing us how to be as Christians. Because it says in Romans 8, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is Christianity, in the sense that in the life, that if the Spirit of Christ is not in you, you are not his. But we have a spirit by which we cry out, Abba, Father. It's either carnality or it's of his Spirit. The prayer list is saying, I want to walk in the Spirit that I may put down my flesh. I want to put down fear, lust, greed, envy, strife with flesh. I want to bring forth the things of you, God. And so hopefully you're seeing that. And this prayer list can be so life-changing and transformational. If we will believe the things that we see that God has revealed that he does through his Spirit, and that we can talk about these things with him and make our requests known to God according to his own word, if he has done it, he has shown it so that we can ask for it as we need it, so that we can be ready to do the appropriate thing on every occasion. Notice with me now in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. So again, that last point in our prayer list is to ask for the Spirit for the plans, to give plans for the building of his temple. Notice now in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, what happens here when the Spirit of God shows up on flesh. It says in verse 1, now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. Now, the context here is that Asa had gone to war and had defeated the Ethiopians. 1 million Ethiopians came against them, and they defeated them. And now the Spirit of the Lord comes on Azariah, son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord Yahweh is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. If you forsake him, he will forsake you. Powerful, isn't it? If you seek him, you're going to find him. If you forsake him, he'll forsake you. Think about that in the context of where we started today. Jesus is saying, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door. But he says, but if you forsake me, I'll forsake you. Do you want the things that God is offering, the riches to taste and see that God is good? He's offering this. And so he says, for a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, without law. But when in their trouble, they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him. He was found by them. And in those times, there was no peace to the one that went out nor the one who came in. But great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the land. So nation was destroyed by nation and city by city. For God troubled them and with every adversity. But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. What work? What work will be rewarded? Seeking God. Seeking him. That is the work that God wants us to be doing, to come after him. And he's saying that he will. But what I want us to notice here in our prayer list as we think through this is that God would bless us with his Spirit to give words of encouragement and exhortation to those in need. That God would bless us with words of encouragement and exhortation to those who are in need. Because that is what was happening here when he spoke. And he gave to Asa these words, Azariah was giving that hope. Notice adding to this over in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, how this happened by the Spirit of God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, notice with me in verse 14, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, and of the son of Jael, and the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now, when is he saying this? He's saying this when they were looking at Jehoshaphat, saw Mount Seir, the Ammonites and Moabites coming against him. Three nations coming up to make war. And here rises one to speak by the Spirit of God and says, listen, all of you Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel, and you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise Yahweh, God of Israel, with voices loud and high. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And now when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, Yahweh set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Wow. The Spirit of the Lord gave the people hope, encouragement, a plan, knowledge, prophecy. They knew what was going to happen. And the encouragement of the king was believe the prophet, believe the word of the Lord. And so, again, we have here the prayer that God would bless us with his Spirit to prophesy words of encouragement and of confidence, of giving knowledge and of plans that we may be successful. God was saying, you don't need to fight this one. It's amazing how many times in my life I have found something within me that wants me to step in. Like my intelligence just wants to handle it, or my rationale or my logic or my reasoning wants to engage. And I had an interesting negotiation recently where my knowledge and what I felt was reasonable was at one place. And then when I prayed to the Lord, it was at a different place. And I'm like, these things are not in concert. I think this is the reasonable place I should be. And God was actually saying, no, ask for more. And I was like, okay, I'm going to ask for more. I guess what's the worst that can happen? I'm told no. But in the negotiation, they bounced back and came much closer to the number I thought was more reasonable. But I didn't just answer their negotiation with my own logic or reason. I went again and asked what to do, where to be. The number didn't change, but the parameters did. And I asked for a very specific number, which in a negotiation of large numbers, getting down to the tens of dollars was even in my ask back. And as soon as we gave them the ask back on what we wanted, that ask was acknowledged, and very quickly it was agreed upon. And had I gone with my own reasoning, it would have been tens of thousands of dollars less that I would have won in that negotiation. But because I listened not to my own rationale, but asked the word of the Lord, I received more for it, understanding what I could ask for. Now, to me, whether I have more or less money is not the point. Whether I can earn more from my company, whether I can do more of anything, it's not the point. The point is having a relationship with your Creator, to know that you can ask for God for insight in the Spirit to make a decision that brings you in harmony with Him for what He would desire, that is so much higher than a dollar or a win or a negotiation or anything. It's not about the thing. It's about God. Because whether God would say, no, I want you to give extra tens of thousands of dollars to them, fine. Fine. You have the right to command what I have or don't have, but just that you would command what I have or don't have, that's what I want. And the relationship that we have, you know, when Paul ends the book in Corinthians saying, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the Father in the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. The communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit is so valuable. Do you realize that Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I leave you? Because if I leave you, I will pray the Father and He will send the Spirit. And sometimes I wonder, in our hearts and minds, are we realizing we need the Holy Spirit like we need our daily bread? Like we need to eat, like we need to get dressed, like we need protection and shelter. We need God in everything. Sometimes I have people come to me and say, well, how did this church start? I'm saying, it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with God. He decided to do something. I'm along for the ride. That's it. It's God. When God wills to do anything, God can do it. If you have an enemy coming at you, He can say, I'm going to pour my Spirit on that person. And they're not going to take you. They're going to prophesy. He can do what He wants. He can stop you when you're on the road to go kill Christians or imprison them. He can do what He wills. He's God. And the thing is, we have been given this invitation to have a fellowship with the Holy Spirit, to have an understanding that the Spirit of the Lord is being offered to come upon us. It's promised to us when we believe and repent and are baptized. And He's saying, I want you to be engaged with me in relationship. But the question we've got to ask is, do we want it or do we just want our own will and our own way? What do we want? Because that's what Jesus was saying when He said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Don't you see I love you? Don't you see that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to Him? This is how it works. This is what God is inviting you to. And this is why we build a list like this. I'm asking you, I know, it's a big ask to say, I want you to take notes today. I want you to write a list. I ask the big ask because I want big things for you. I want you to realize there's more here. And we as a group, coming together as believers, there's more here. And the words of the Lord and the works of the Lord and the signs and the power and the majesty of God is always being shown through His church. And He's saying, hey, stones. Hey, you living walks of clay, you lumps that are walking around, you walking, talking, animated earth people, you, I want you. Don't you know I made you in my image and likeness so you would be in my image and likeness, being filled with my Spirit and doing the things that I want you to do? That's why we build this list. That's why we keep this list. That's why we pray this list, because God wants us involved with Him so that what is needed can be found in Him. Turn with me over now to Psalm chapter 51. Notice David here, after David had sinned. And it says here in Psalm 51, and in verse 11, David says, "Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Remember what we read earlier, how that Samuel had put the Spirit of the Lord upon him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward? David knew he had the Holy Spirit. And David, when he had sinned in this heinous sin, where he had committed adultery, where he had plotted and crafted a murder and was being deceitful, he had come to his senses when Nathan the prophet had gone to him. And David goes to God and says, "Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." Put that on your prayer list. Father, uphold me by your generous spirit. When you sin, when you fall short, it is not the end of your life for God. And it is not meant to be an ending. It is meant to be a reconnecting. Because when we sin, we have an advocate in our Lord Jesus Christ, as it says in the book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. When we sin, we have an advocate who is right there to say, "Okay, we got to get back to this salvation. This salvation for you, this salvation for others." But what do we need when we're brokenhearted? What do we need when we see our sin and we see our dread? It is so easy in these moments to start walking back in the flesh and turning away in guilt and in shame and in darkness. And it's in these moments that we must be praying, and keep this on your prayer list. God, when I sin, uphold me by your generous spirit. Don't let me fall away from you. Don't let me be removed from the joy of your salvation. Let me continue on, God. Though I sin and fall short, let me be for you, O God. And so it says here in Psalm 104, verse 30. So that point again, behold by the generous spirit, to be upheld by his spirit. In Psalm 104, verse 30, where it says this, "You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth." What's our point, Father? That you would send forth your spirit and create me new. That you would renew the face of this earth, this walking, talking, animated earth. That as you remove the earth from darkness and gave it light, that you would to me. That you took the earth from a place that was drowning in waters and turned it around and removed it from the baptism of death and gave it the waters of life. That you planted seed inside, that it would come forth and spring forth. That you took something that was tohu and bohu, without form and void, and made it a life-giving planet that was springing forth with fruits and herbs and things that could be eaten and enjoyed. And you put creatures around to come and partake of the earth. And to realize the manifestation, and through all of your creation, that you of your own self form man from the dust of the ground. That you would form us like that. That you would renew the face of the earth and form in this flesh, in this lump of clay, this animated earth, that you would form me in your image and likeness. That the dominion I would have would only ever be used for righteous purposes, in humility, with justice, with goodness for others. And this is what God is saying. Ask for my spirit, that you would be a new creature, that you would be a new creation, that you would be who God made you to be. And let's finish here with our next point. So there is to create us new. Isaiah chapter 32. Turn with me to Isaiah 32. And we're going to end here for today. God willing, we will pick this up next week. If it be his will, I will hope to be teaching next week. Isaiah chapter 32. And we're going to finish here in verse 15. Where he says, "Until the Spirit is poured out on us from on high." What happens when the Spirit is poured out upon us from on high? and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest. The Holy Spirit can take you from a wilderness to a fruitful field, and from a fruitful field to a whole forest, teeming with berries and life and vibrancy. And this life that God wants you and me to have is a work of creation that comes by the Holy Spirit. And if you have been trying through your own will and your own discipline and not asking for God's help in the things that you are seeing that God wants you to do, you need to understand this is the connection between unleavened bread and coming out of Egypt with Passover to the day of Pentecost. He's saying, look, you've got to get out of that slavery. You've got to believe in God. You've got to be broken free. You start walking truth. But now where are we heading? Because we've got to be adding in the connection of the Spirit. The Spirit makes alive. So you can know the truth to remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. You can know the commandment to not commit adultery. But yet, what happens in our lives? We do sin. We do fall short. We do break down. We do neglect God's commandments. How do you bridge the gap? The gap gets bridged by the Holy Spirit. It is the transformational thing. Jesus said, it's your advantage I leave you. Don't you get it? You need the Holy Spirit. You're never going to be like me apart from the Spirit of God within you. Why are we building a Holy Spirit prayer list? Because we need God in our lives. We can't just go through the motions of having a theory in our heads and a practice that we have arrived at even by our flesh without the empowering presence, having a form of godliness but denying the power. The power to transform is in God. You can have the truth, but it can have no impact on your life. You can preach the truth, but not be having conversions. The conversion process happens by God's work in us. It is He who sends forth His Spirit to create us new. It's He who sends forth His Spirit to enliven us. And my friends, this is a moment where you can say, yes, I want you, God, in my life. Yes, I need you, God, in my life. Yes, I'm building this list right now, God, because I need to pray this way. I need to be thinking this way. I need to have my whole life geared this way. And I don't want to let it go. Because the fruit of it, notice, what does God produce? When the Spirit is poured out on high, verse 15, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest, what happens in your life and in the lives of those around you? What do they get to partake of? And it says, justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness will remain in the fruitful field, and the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Absolutely gorgeous. You were made to be very, very beautiful. A beautiful creature of God. A new creation made by Him that you could be His work of righteousness to bring peace and quietness and assurance to others, because what He's put in you are those very things. My friends, I hope that you're seeing how powerful these things to pray for can be, and what the work of the Spirit can be in your life. And we have so much more to cover. It's a beautiful list that we're going to continue on, God willing, next week. Now, I need to ask you for one more thing. I've asked you to make a list, and hopefully you had enough respect for me today to let me be your teacher and help you make this list. And if you haven't, and you're like, oh, I should have made the list, go back, because it's going to be on YouTube. You can listen to it. Write it down. But make your list. But now I want you to do one more thing. If you're committed to praying and asking for these things of the Spirit, thinking of these verses and saying the prayers, I want you to set an alarm on your phone right now of a time of your own choosing when you're going to pray this, either starting later today or tonight. Maybe right now you're in homes. Maybe you just start praying this list right now. But set a time that goes off tomorrow and the next day. And until, God willing, we come here back on this next Sabbath, that you will set a time to say, I'm going to start praying this list. Because what I offered to you was this can be transformational. If you are willing to believe and ask, it will be given to you. To seek, you will find. To knock, the door will be open. But God is encouraging us to come and ask for these things. So let's start now. Make a commitment with me that you're going to set your alarm to go off at a time every day. If you change the time, but just don't miss the day. But that alarm is your own management to say, I need to spend this time in prayer because I don't want to be negligent of this offer. It's too good. And you'll get to taste and see how good the Lord is for you as you see Him working more dynamically in your life and you see your life springing forth in ways you didn't know. And it'll start you on a journey you'll never want to exit from, where you'll say, I never want to be without the Holy Spirit again. God willing, until next week.